We have a city council meeting for Tuesday, May 20th, 25th, is called to order. Pastor Jerry Peoples, Brown Road Baptist Church, give our invitation. Followed by pledge of allegiance.
Would you bow with prayer? Father, we're grateful that you're God and there are no others. We are grateful that you are not only creator, but the giver and sustainer of life. Father, we thank you for the blessings that you pour out on us. Lord, we'd ask you that you would be gracious and merciful for the things that we've done this day that we shouldn't have and the things we should have done that we didn't do. And Father, for those who are again in peril tonight from weather and storms, would you be merciful to them, provide for them, and comfort those families. Now, Father, as these folks make decisions about this community, would you give them the wisdom of Solomon? Lord, would you give them the patience and the perseverance of Job? God, would you give them the tenacity of Paul? And would you give them the grace of Jesus? For we ask it in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Point.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay.
I messed up, so we're going to say it again. So where are you girls at, ladies?
Let me introduce.
They were supposed to lead us tonight in the pledge.
Well, we can do it again.
And the mayor was
excited.
We can do it
again. He was overexcited. It is my privilege and honor to introduce you to Marina Hammett and Caitlin Robertson. These two young MACO seniors, through our dual enrollment program, graduated from Coastal Alabama College with an associate degree before they graduated from high school. So they graduated on May 5th and will graduate from high school.
And a little sidebar, Marina lives across the street from us, always has. And graduated from college in 2 years, and I'm hoping my boy makes it down the aisle for graduation. What a difference 50 feet makes, I swear to God.
And Caitlin, how many softball state championships do you have?
Me personally, I have four.
Four.
Wow. With a team of five, congratulations, and thank you both for the leadership y'all show.
And what else just happened today, Caitlin?
I was named valedictorian.
She was named valedictorian of her class. I'm not going to make you say the pledge again, but we love having you here. Thank you to your family for coming, and good luck to you. We'll see you Thursday at graduation.
Thank you,
ladies.
Thank you all.
No, we're going to do it all over again.
Let's
sure. Can't have too much pledge, right?
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you to the parents.
Thank you, Mom and Dad.
Appreciate you.
Considering tonight's agenda, the roll call.
Councilmember Silver.
Here.
Councilmember Johnson.
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell.
Here.
Councilmember Blaylock is out. And Councilmember Boyd.
Here.
Mayor Penn.
Here. Entertained a motion considering tonight's agenda.
Move to approve the agenda as written.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Consideration of previous minutes from our work session, regular council meeting, committee of the whole, 4:15:25. No objections, the reading of the minutes will be waived. Are there any corrections to the minutes? No corrections, the minutes stand approved as written. Any announcements?
I have one, Mayor. I would like to publicly thank Cutter Landscaping for once again donating 50 palm trees to the city of Orange Beach for us to use within the city.
He's a good guy. He's a good person. Yes.
And for y'all that don't know, red snapper season starts Friday. My favorite day of the year. Of course, probably besides my anniversary.
Yeah.
And 7 days a week.
7 days a week.
Mayor, I would just want to say something about our veterans and first responders memorial out front. It is coming together. It is just a standout, and I can't wait till it's finished. But right now, just driving by there and just looking at where it's at today and what it's going to look like, the vision, when we're finished with accolades. To
yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris, Glenn.
Yes.
All of you, words, Adam. Everybody for getting it done.
Yeah.
Okay, head off. Auditing of accounts.
Who decertified the cash requirements with no related interest are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Who decertified the cash requirements with related interest in SWIFT supply are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Moving ordinances, second reading, ordinance amending ordinance number 172, zoning text amendment, wetlands density and minimum setbacks.
Move to postpone considerations indefinitely.
Second. Discussion. I think what we're going to do is the wetland setback. We need more information and need a better understanding from an expert. Not that we don't have some guys, but we need to understand the types and the ramifications. I feel like 15 feet is too much. It's an intrusion on people's property, but I do think that there is merit to looking and seeing what does make sense. So I think we're all in agreement. We're gonna roll it into its own moratorium and evaluate it. That sound good?
Yes.
And then the other moratorium, let me see. Nope. All right. That's all I'd say. Anybody wanna add to that?
Nope.
Y'all good?
Okay. I think it's the right thing to do.
Okay.
And it's the last item on your agenda.
Yeah. All right, under new business, Ms. Lynn.
This is a motion. I made the motion to postpone indefinitely.
Second. Councilmember Boyd seconded. So Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kenney?
Yes. All right, under miscellaneous, new business approval, restaurant retail liquor license, tee off at the wharf, Main Street.
Move to approve the liquor license.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Good luck, Travis here.
Good luck, Travis.
Good luck, bud.
Appreciate it.
Didn't say you'd leave. I guess that's good. Resolution authorizing temporary portable building, 22801 Canal Road, Friendship Materials, doing business as Fulcrum, Earth, and Stone.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Question. Adam, how long is that? How long is that?
It's going to be for 6 months.
6 months? Okay. Gotcha. Thank you, sir. I didn't see you over there. Resolution authorizing the purchase of an access control system for the police department, Division Security Technologies, $59,228.57.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Resolution authorizing the purchase of video surveillance for the police department. State bid, Vision Security Technologies, $63,057.15.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Resolution authorizing issue of software service agreement. Southern Software Inmate Records Jail Management.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Resolution establishing fees, operation policies for the Orange Beach Shooting Complex.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. Did you have an issue?
I really would like to table that until for 1 month.
Okay, we'll make a motion to table. Okay. Did that work?
I'll second the motion.
I think it supersedes the motion in place that we not, and then we go there.
I think there was a motion and a second to pass it, and so there would have to be a motion to amend the motion to postpone it, and then you
I make a motion to amend the motion. To postpone it.
I second that motion.
Motion.
Change the name.
I don't even know what we're doing.
And then it's all paid for.
To postpone, all in favor?
To amend the motion.
Is this a roll call?
It's so that one council can't just jump over, yeah, so it's, everyone agrees to amend it, and then you would agree to adopt it.
Okay, roll call.
Thank you. You can just.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Some motion carries. What's next?
And now your vote, a motion and a second to actually.
So we had a, all right.
Miss a minute.
Start over.
What's the question? Need a motion to postpone.
Who's on first?
And that was motion to postpone.
Who's on first?
I second that.
Second.
The motion.
To postpone.
Okay.
I feel like deja vu all in.
Who is this, maybe, is that a roll call?
No.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay, and just to clarify, when are we, how long are we postponing this?
One month, please.
Good news, we don't have to do that very often.
Resolution authorizing execution of mutual aid agreement, law enforcement, public safety services, city of Manhattan.
Move to adopt resolution.
Second.
Discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed, motion carries, resolution authorizing execution of mutual aid agreement, Coastal Alabama Community College.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed, motion carries, resolution awarding Assistant Police Chief Robert Howard his duty weapons and badge as part of his retirement benefits.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed, motion carries, how many years was he with us, chief, 29?
Thirty.
Thirty?
Thirty.
Did he come?
He's not here yet, I believe, early.
Okay. Let him know, he knows we appreciate it.
Yes.
Resolution awarding Officer Kenneth Klaus his duty weapons and badge as part of his retirement benefits.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed, motion carries, how many years?
I'm not quite certain, but I believe close to 30 total, but just over 25 here.
He's appreciated.
Yes, yes.
Resolution amending employees' pay plan job listing to add the positions of industrial maintenance electrician, senior human resources generalist.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed, motion carries. Resolution awarding proposal for strategic comprehensive plan contractor.
Move to postpone consideration to the next council meeting on June 3rd.
Second.
Discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed, motion carries, resolution authorizing execution agreement Pensacola Padillo Bay Estuaries Program for marine debris volunteer project coordination, trash removal, coastal vegetation planting.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed, motion carries. Resolution authorizing the purchase of a dump truck for utilities department, $128,500.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed, motion carries, resolution authorizing chief task order with FOTH Infrastructure Environmental Engineered Beach Annual Monitoring, $54,800.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Discussion.
Just Philip, can you say what this is?
Sure, so every season, and we just had a beach nourishment project, so sure. This is the post-construction monitoring. This will also serve as our pre-season baseline,
gotcha.
For which we would build back to if we had a, you know, presidential declaration.
And they just acquire what company, because you're used to seeing it with with a different company.
So FOTH bought Olson, so it's
Olson Associates.
Oh. It's still our same engineers we've worked with.
Yes. Everybody stays the same, it's just a name change.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. But this is required to get federal assistance.
Assistance, right. Reimbursement.
Right. We need to know that baseline to be able to show it.
So. Right. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Phil.
Yes.
Do we vote?
I don't think so.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Resolution authorizing execute professional services group with Alicia Errington, Special Needs Aid Excellence Program.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. She's, who knows, right here. Anyway, she's very appreciated, very much appreciated.
Yes.
Resolution approving the submission of the 2024 Municipal Water Pollution Prevention Annual Report.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second. Discussion?
I read part of this report. It was very boring, but the only thing that jumped, I mean, I read how, one of the first paragraphs, how they treat the water, a little bit, what, you know, chlorine, and then it goes to a filter of chlorine. But does anybody ever discuss here about us removing fluoride? I don't know the water pollution here, but it's a big issue nowadays, and more and more detail comes out. And I guess it'll take us calling our water board to call.
I think they're moving.
I think they sent something out.
Okay, yeah. I didn't see that, but thank you.
Vince is raising his hand. He's on the water board.
Vince?
We've taken the fluoride out of the water.
It's already out? Mm-hmm. Perfect.
When did y'all take it out, Vince?
Oh, a month or two ago.
Okay.
We had chemicals that we wanted to use up before, you know, we got rid of it. It's a pretty dangerous chemical.
That's what I understand. Yeah.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? Motion carries. Public hearing. An ordinance amending ordinance number 172, Bayside Garages in Orange Beach. Mr. Griffin.
Yes, this conditional use request for the Bayside Garages at Orange Beach proposal. It's located on Pelican Place. It's lot one of the Mango Place subdivision. Property is owned general business, and this is a request for conditional use approval to construct an enclosed storage facility consisting of one building and 12 units. Planning Commission considered this at their meeting last week. Gave it a favorable recommendation on 8-0 vote. If we go to our next slide, next couple of slides are just 8-0.
Planning Commission.
Commission gave it a favorable recommendation. Next couple of slides will be just some site pictures. The arrow indicates the driveway onto the site. If we go to the next slide, this will be looking west. Again, showing the driveway that goes onto the site. The lot is sort of a flag lot, as you can see on the screen. Next slide. The blue arrow is the proposed building, what we call the north building, that will be the subject of this request. Again, it's 12 units. They also, if you see where the red arrow is, that's a future building, and this will require them to come back for another conditional use approval for that south building. But what we're considering is the north building this afternoon. Next slide. This is just some building elevations we got from their website, and also we go to our next slide, and this will show the inside. And the next couple of slides will be pictures provided by the applicant of their facility in Biloxi, Mississippi. And next slide. Okay, then again, this site is 2.25 acres. This will be for an enclosed storage facility. A little more than 15,800 square feet. You have 12 units, each unit about 1,320 square feet. Building coverage is 16%. The building meets all setback requirements. This will be a single-story building, be 20 feet to the roof reach. Land use buffering will be required on the south side. That's abutting the single-family residential use that you have, or lot two of Mango Place subdivision. Wetlands, there's 0.34 acres. These are located mostly on the south side. Parking requirements, there's none required because this is a mini warehouse self-storage facility land use. The driveway, this will be a 20-foot driveway onto Pelican Place. It'll be gated, and there'll be 65 feet between the gate and Pelican Place. Pelican Place, which is roadway, is currently a substandard road, and they'll have to make improvements to it to increase the width of it to at least 20 feet to meet the fire department's requirement. If we go to our next slide, this is just additional comments. Again, I just reiterate, this is for the north building. The project will need to provide land use buffer screening on the south side, and that will include a solid fence and more landscaping. That's the riser lot to the south. Project needs due exchange of the American holly trees with hardwood shade trees that are listed in Article 16. The exterior building materials will be metal, and this meets the allowance that's provided in the Section 10.02 of the zoning ordinance. The buildings will be very similar to the developer's existing facility in Biloxi and the mini warehouse and self-storage facilities. These are allowed in general business as a conditional use approval. That's the reason they're having to come here this afternoon. Next slide. Just conditions of approval that went from staff and the Planning Commission is, as we say, consulting with the gas on availability of gas service, exchanging the landscape trees to meet the hardwood shade tree requirement, and also providing additional land use buffer screening on the south side. If they have any signage, it has to meet the Article 15 requirements. Again, will be subject to conditional use guidelines in Section 4.0101 of the zoning ordinance. Details, plans for improving Pelican Place will be required prior to site and building permitting, and also detailed stormwater management plans meeting city requirements will be needed prior to permitting. Any impacts of wetlands must be approved and permitted by the Corps and also ADEM. And fire department's requiring a knock switch to be provided at the gate. Do you have any questions?
Any questions for anybody?
I have. What is the buffer again between there and Broken Sound? Is it 65 feet?
The building setback is about 30 feet, a little more than 30 feet.
From the property
line? That's right, from the property line to the building. I think it's about 30, maybe 31, 32 feet.
They're adding a fence, is that correct?
They have a chain link fence along that, the west lot line.
Okay. So a 30 foot buffer. Okay.
And what, just this is general business. So all this is a general. Relatively docile project.
That's right.
Considering what could be there. The minimum noise, minimal services required. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Traffic would be minimal as opposed to a park.
They're going to market to folks bringing pre-boat buses and boats and stuff like that.
So, general business is pretty much a wild, wild west. So.
Well, at one time, it was all general business, all the way to Lauderdale. So, okay, thank you. Excuse me, one more thing. I was here for the Planning Commission meeting, and I believe the engineer of record, Vince Lacido, stated that they were going to provide drainage for a 100-year event instead of a 25-year rain event. Is that correct, Vince?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So what about Pelican Place, the road coming in, to take that road and increase it to 20 feet? That's all new drainage down the side of those roads as well for each of those driveways?
We'll have to do that.
The other concern, Chris, is what we've been dealing with for the last month on the drainage issues at Lauder Place, especially in that southeast corner where, and I drove out there this afternoon and with Matt Burge and looked at some of the drainage. Mm-hmm. So all of this from Hidden Sound comes right through where that little circle is in that corner, kind of cuts through all the way down to the bottom. Is there any chance of us working with the state park, or are you already on that, of maybe getting a ditch back there to just make sure that more of this drains onto the state park?
Chris Backus, city engineer. Yes, we have a request in to the state to see if we can possibly do a project there to try to help divert some of the drainage coming out of the wetlands that drain into that cul-de-sac there to Wood Glen.
Into Glenwood, to divert away from Glenwood.
Yes,
the problem flooding that we incurred.
Who are you dealing with? Department of Conservation?
Yes.
DSCR?
Yes.
That's with Chris coming down Friday, whatever. Is it next Friday?
No, but.
Okay.
That's something. I know where you're going.
The director's coming down, so I think that might be a road trip to take him out there showing me. That's a very small ask, I would think.
Yes.
So. We can take him out there and see if we can't go straight to the top and just be done with it.
That'd be great.
Yeah, save us between going through the, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And that the road, Pelican, will be widened. The minimum subdivision requirements is 24. So the fire department requires a minimum of 20, but to meet subdivision regulations, they get 24.
Okay. The other is, and during the public hearing, we get to ask questions and the floor opens up, and I know there are people here that want to talk. One of the battles here, and we've dealt with this several other times in the city, and I give you two. One was Washington Place and the other was Tandon, where it came up to us, and the first project was the best project, and it was so much pushback, it got turned down, and then what they wound up with was not the bird in the hand, but the two in the bush. And this is one of those situations where my concern is, we have, as the mayor said, a docile project that's storage. When you have to open a door and go, if this gets turned down, what are the other options in general business? Because by right, they are able to build stuff that they don't have to come to us. As long as they meet setbacks, they meet all the ADEM and the core, if they build other things that are allowed to be built in general business, it may be much more disappointing than a storage unit. So we're kind of caught in the middle of that tonight. And I want to hear your concerns and understand it. We know people that live there, we love them, and we care. But the other side of this, what's the lesser of evils for us to try to go, these people have a right to build on their property. So just keep that in mind as we're looking at that and kind of where we're sitting on it.
Yeah, it's to refuse someone the right to build based on the potential of a possible flood event in the future is a lawsuit you're going to lose. It's just, you're not going to win that. It's just not something we can do. Can we do everything we can do to make sure the water is retained on site so that it doesn't leave the site? And we're going to do the best that we can do to do that. But we cannot tell somebody you can't build because it might flood. It's just, I mean, I wish we could, but philosophically I would. But I don't know. There's folks here kind of think that we're just supposed to shut everything down because there's floodings with 2,500-year rain. It just doesn't work that way. We're too flat. And there's going to be places that is going to put water in your yard with a heavy rain. There's nothing we can do about it. We just went through that with Bear Point and down there at Ladder Place. But I don't know how to fix that except to do the best we can with trying to divert the runoff or trying to make sure it's retained on site. Both engineers says they think that they can. You have a 500-year rain event, no, nobody will keep their water on their property. So I for what that's worth, it does put us in a position that you just can't say no because somebody might have water in their yard. And I hope that's, I'm trying to be straight with you, and I hope that's understandable. So, but again, you have every right to voice your concerns or your opinions or constructive ideas of how to help us fix it. Because we, you know, we're not, I don't think any of us are rocket science. So we're open to, well, maybe a few, but we'll do the best we can to mitigate any off-site drainage. Anybody want to add to that?
There's a conservation easement up in the top of there. It's treated right now. It has been. Is that correct? Griffin?
Yes.
We talked about that in the Planning Commission, correct?
Yes.
So that won't ever be developed.
And that property at the end of Broken Sound.
Yes, sir.
To the right of Broken Sound, north of Pelican Place, left of the driveway. Is that the easement you're talking about?
I believe I'm talking about this.
Yes. Yep.
Correct.
That's right. And to the north.
And to that right there. Along with
that's right where the arrow is.
Thank you.
And that was part of why we allowed Broken Sound to all go into one spot to preserve all that green area. Mm-hmm.
And we are looking with a moratorium at density issues. As we've stated before, there's still a lot of homes, a lot of structures that can be built in Orange Beach by right. So whether we reduce the density by right across the board, which is the only way you can do it, you still have a lot of rooftops coming. And it's just a very difficult situation. But we're really trying to do a 9-month moratorium to try to evaluate how to deal with it. But yeah. Any other thoughts? Or do you want to go ahead and open it up to the floor?
I'm open it up.
All right. Okay, so the floor is open. So anybody that'd like to comment or give us some ideas or talk to us, we're open.
Ken Shepherd, I live down on 4082 Wood Glen.
Where?
Right there, 4082 Wood Glen.
I didn't hear. Wood Glen is right south of Pelican Place.
The last one with the number right there.
Straight up.
Sir?
The last one with the number going down that Wood Glen trace into the cul-de-sac. No, way back down, right back down. All the way back down by the park system.
The flooding area.
Right there. Well, that's the two properties that I have on the flooding issue, but mine's right there at that area. You and I, Jeff came over and we rode around about an hour with a golf cart, talked about all that, went over and looked at Lawler Place, back up Oak Ridge. I've asked and asked, and it's kind of like everybody, and I'm new here. I bought in February, I bought knowing there's water on the property, thinking maybe someday somebody take care of some of it. They keep talking about the issue of turning it, that it's wetlands, yet Kim Parsons, our POA there, said that the original engineering plans on it showed the ditch to drain into a lowlands area. It's not called a wetlands area, and the drain actually was supposed to drain from that cul-de-sac into that, what y'all are now calling wetlands. But you got that, you built, I guess it was a sewer pipe down through there, and you covered it concrete. And all along where the mowing stops, you end up with all the growth, the leaves, and everything washes into it, makes a natural burn. The water backed up against it. Excuse me, I'm sorry. It went to my hearing aids. The water all backs up right there along that concrete walkway. And everybody knows it, you know, when it really, really rains, it gets water standing and it gets, you know, deep. I've read comments on Facebook about people having to walk through there in the post office. They can't walk through it because the water 2 or 3 inches deep. You put in a pipe about six or eight houses up back in the fall. But you really didn't drop the elevation. They went in there and took the grade down maybe 2 inches and put 3 pipes in there. But that at most could only change it by 2 inches. But it's up elevation where all this is at. It's not really at the low point of where all the water problems are. Right there where the Alabama National or the Alabama Wildlife and Resources area goes between that and the church property. To me, if you could go through there and open it up, that from that natural earthen berm. I mean, it's just a berm created over time, silt, whatever. Because for 25 years, it's been sitting there dry, and within the last 5 years, additional water from, people say broken sounds have to do with it, and a couple other things have to do with it. But even Jeff and I looked at it, it's like, if you could bring it to the concrete walkway, drop the elevation six inch pipe, the elevation down there, and into the Alabama State Parks, you'll drain that water out. There'll no longer be a wetlands.
Chris, what's good, what's bad about that idea?
Well, to start with, just go back on the wetlands. You can see the wetlands, the main portion of the wetlands there in that aerial photograph is the lighter section. And you can see it ends over near the cul-de-sac. That wetlands has existed since our earliest mapping. So the USGS, United States Geological Service, first mapped Orange Beach in 1941. Those wetlands are on the map in 1941. So those wetlands have been there. They predate any development of, any modern development of Orange Beach. So those wetlands have always been there. And they drain. Their outlet is that point right there at the cul-de-sac and just east of that. You know, between the end of Oak Ridge and the cul-de-sac there is where those wetlands want to empty into the southern part of the state park as they travel south into the state park. One issue we've got is there is no fall area. You have to go further. You'd have to go deep into the state property. You can see those other wetlands, Sean, if you pull the cursor straight down, mm-hmm. right in there, you can see those wetlands. You would have to get closer to those wetlands before you started gaining enough elevation to really make a difference with an outfall pipe. But then again, you know, you open up a whole other can of worms when you talk about draining wetlands. You know, they're going to want to protect the wetlands. You know, it's a lot of what we deal with in our world is protection of the wetlands. What we need to do is try to come up with a solution that protects the wetlands, but would give them some relief from the flooding, because they're the outlet. And what we've talked about is building the possibility of building a berm along their eastern boundary that would come up the east side and then and turn along the north right there where Sean's got the cursor. That as that water flows from the east to the west and tries to turn south into the park, it would continue to flow there, but we would block it from flowing into that cul-de-sac. I think that's our best solution.
Do we build a bridge and get more flow there instead of a sidewalk?
We could look at the possibility. If we could get permission from the state to go further south into the park and gain some elevation on some drainage pipe there, then we could make some more improvements. But when we met with them, preliminarily back in the fall, they were pretty standoffish about us going beyond the edge of the cleared path where the trail is. They did let us knock that berm down. There was a natural windrow that kind of develops over time, and we took a skid steer in the fall and pushed that out to try to relieve some of that water. But it's just, you're looking at about a 70 acre lake in effect with those wetlands, and every time we get a big rain, it flushes. It flushes all of those wetlands, and the outlet is that point right there that we're discussing.
So it's actually, because I've been there 5 to 6 days after the last rain event on that Friday night, y'all, and it's coming out of here and flushing through here.
That's right. And it runs for weeks. I've been looking at it since the first week I worked here.
If I were guessing, there's 8 inches to a foot behind my home. If you look at the right. property there on the cul-de-sac, mine's the third one over. I know the fourth one over, it gets drowned up a little bit. But to me, that's I'm not asking you to drain the wetlands by any means. The 6-inch elevation would cap where the wetland elevation could go. That's all I'm asking. You know, if you look at maybe a 6-inch drain, just take the elevation down to 6 inches below that sidewalk. You're only going to take 6 inches of water off your wetlands, which right now that 6 inches is really above where the wetlands ever were. As far as for the plan for that up there, my concern and my request would be try to get a signalization up there to Washington.
Sir, yeah. A signalization?
Lauder coming in, you know, in Lauder. Getting out of Lauder coming this way is not bad, but getting out of Lauder to go to the west is a pain.
How long have you been here?
Just a couple of months. I've been here several months.
We've been trying to get, there's been a light request there for the last 15 years. That's the state.
Ken's from Kentucky. Yeah. Okay. I rode with him all over that and explained to him the history of the drainage and why we had to cut streets in Lauder Place and such like that because we're so flat.
The reason I was saying that is because we've been trying to. A light there forever. The state, it's a state's decision.
And, you know, I've looked at the history of you guys. You've been here at that scene a long time doing the same thing, trying to get it done. And I understand, like I said, when you're looking at doing this, maybe you get the state to look about doing something about signalization to help.
We've also tried to get a service road. Matt McCrory owns a lot of that now, and they're getting ready to build, or they're proposing some stuff this side of Nellie Martin's place. But a service road from Lauder Place all the way down to the other light, so you can at least go down a service road. It's an option, but you know, ideas are great, but putting it in reality always not as easy as you think. You know, and so.
You know, I agree with what you're saying about the general purpose build up there. That's probably one of your best choices. It's a lot better than you know putting. You know, 2 or 3 businesses in there that have constant movement.
Well, the light at Gulf Bay probably needs to be at Lauder Place. is where that light there would serve a better purpose.
I believe we asked the state about that too, and we got to turn that up.
Yeah, we're just a bunch of Don Samuels down here. So, all right, burn, state gives us permission, they don't give us permission, what's plan B? All right, is it the possibility to put a berm on their property?
That would be a possibility. Could look at the possibility of putting them. The berm does not have to be on state property. It could be on theirs.
That's what I'm saying. If you give us an easement to put the berm on your property, it's a drainage project. Of course, I got to talk to the attorney before I eat breakfast. So I don't know if I next to do it. But my point is, it's going to be easier for you to give us an easement than it's going to be for us to give from the state.
Mine's just right up to I'm third house in. Yeah.
Well, I mean, but if the HOA wants to fix it, and they really want it fixed, then they need to get a, because we're willing to do whatever we can do, but they got to help us.
Let me step down on that one.
Okay.
Talk to him. I'd rather the HOA president.
All right.
I talked to Jeff, and my point is, I'm not asking to drain the wetland, just getting the elevation. The site plans 25 years ago said the water would come down. Our cul-de-sac street and drain into a ditch into the lowland before we got the wetlands. And now it's to a point where the wetlands are actually coming out into our property,
right
over the water flow.
You and I both agree. I said, Ken, this is a hill. All this falls down. It falls down to this. That's why that's the
drain is all to the low side, but the water now is coming along into it where 25 years ago it was wet.
The problem is, over 25 years, wetlands move, change, elevation changes, silt moves. There's no way anybody can predict where the water's going to go 25 years.
Like I say, even 25 years with nothing going on in that, the silt and the natural burn will live too. So, I mean,
but if we could get an easement and fix this, I think we would be, would y'all be okay with something like that if we can make it work legally?
We can find a solution. We're behind it all the way to hell.
Exactly. Yeah.
But if you do that, you can get under the concrete drain into the state plant, into the Alabama State Park.
Bring your shovel. Bring your shovel.
Well, if you build a bridge, it alleviates that. At least it gives it a bigger flow and higher rains, which that's when the issue comes. Same as my neighborhood. And the more we have in those higher rains, and if it relieves it any, it's a help.
Yeah.
I keep hearing what you're saying on that, but honestly, I've been looking at this piece of property for 2 years. For the whole 2 years, it's had about 6 or 8 inches of water standing behind it, which that was not wetlands when that was all the way down. It's just the concrete walked through there, and no way to get the water underneath that. The natural berms have come up along where they mowed there, along beside the concrete wall. Those berms have just created a work that continues to raise the water there, and it's not allowed to come across that walkway into the state park. And that's my...
I think a bridge would actually help there because that concrete is stopping some of that. Unfortunately.
Well, every sidewalk we build is a dam.
Yeah.
I promise you.
And they've put, you guys, I've talked to both of you guys, and I appreciate you guys, and I appreciate all you guys, and little things have had to, little things have started, and those things are, haven't worked, so we're moving on, and of course, Chris, like you said, was doing that berm project. The person that is right next, the two that are right next to, the one he was just talking to, that's the homeowner that she has the gray roof, the one that's like a pie shape. That's the one where it comes into. And my understanding is, I actually asked her about that berm.
Yes. It comes through here now and it comes out.
Yes. And actually, the whole complete cul-de-sac, the last time it rained, the whole complete circle was cut. And not just a little. We're talking, 2 or 3 inches plus fish. There's actually fish in there, a lot of fish. The problem is with that berm too, Chris, I was wondering because, like you said, I went back and looked at all this stuff, and in between her two properties, there is a ditch line that's supposed to carry all of that from that road all the way out into the wetlands. But instead, it started back up. So I asked her personally, could you or would you put a berm on your own property? Even if they did that at the state, would you put one on your property? And she said she would. But also I said I felt like she needed to fill her property in because it is low, they have taken down some trees. That's probably, a long time ago, not recently. But I feel like that's probably not helped the situation, but when she called the city, she told me that they told her she was not allowed to fill that in because now it's considered wetlands. I don't know anything about that. Is she allowed to?
She was required to get a wetlands delineation, which is the case on just about every piece of property in Orange Beach.
So this is a lady that refused to cooperate to allow us to help her. Is that it?
We never got a wetlands delineation, so we couldn't move any further with it.
So the point being, wetland delineation is just to show that we can't, she can fill it in because there's no wetlands. That's all it is.
What does she need to do that?
Chris would be out there doing that.
She would need to get a wetlands delineation. If there is wetlands and she wanted to fill in the wetlands, then she would have to permit that with the Corps of Engineers. If there's not wetlands, then we could go ahead and issue a site permit where she could fill that. But we don't know without the wetlands delineation.
I've given them names of people that do that too. Companies that do that too.
Okay. I know she sort of blew up recently, and I understand her point because she's been back there for a long time, but I don't feel like she reached out as much as she probably could have in the beginning, and now it's like this big problem. But I have talked to her, I think a berm on the back of the property, I think she would be fine with that, so if that would help. But it has to still somehow be able to come down that elevation and then back out, because that's how ours is supposed to do.
Well, that's the point I'm making now, or fixing to make, is all the berm's going to do is redirect it off her property with somebody else's.
It's going down.
Because that's essentially...
Everything she's done that brings the water behind that.
That's a river. That is a river flowing, and that river is... meandered over the years, and when you've got property below the grade, below the street level, you're going to flood. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how we fix that for you, because...
Well, I kept saying she needed to fill in her lot, but if she can fill in her lot, that's one thing.
Well, we can do everything we can do to help her do that.
Yes, because I think that would help.
But then, if that lot goes up, what happens to the one next to it?
Well, it is a bit of an elevation I feel like most of those are coming down this way. That's the way that ditch line is supposed to
go. It is.
And it's supposed to go into that wetlands.
This all falls downward. Everything this is high, this all falls.
The water in mine started rising as she started with her sandbag pulled the water off. It actually started coming further up in behind the rest of our houses. I mean, until the water can finally come underneath that concrete walkway to the state park system, it's going to be there.
That's one of our biggest, and it goes all the way to...
It's going to be better.
Okay, let me ask you this, because I want to make sure I'm following y'all's line of thinking. At the sidewalk, you're saying you want a pipe to allow the water to move from west to east, I think that is, right?
North to south.
Okay, so, but that means that you've got to retain and channel all the water on the other sides of y'all's property.
Behind the houses.
Yeah, and I don't know how you would channel all that big, broad flow of water into a singular flow or smaller flow to that pipe is what I'm getting at.
It's doing it now.
It is.
Coming through?
Naturally.
Could I walk up there and point out on that?
We have a pointer.
Could I walk up behind Jerry?
All the way from the end of that cul-de-sac, all the way over to Oak Ridge, most of the time that ballpark path is completely wet. Most of the time.
I'm good over here in this one.
Chris, what's the downside? What's the issue there? Let's just say we tear the sidewalk up and open it up. What happens there?
I think it would rain water.
I don't think there is a downside to doing that.
Okay.
I mean, outside of, you know.
This property, this home right here, there's actually a ditch. I would say you're putting that 2 foot wide along the back side of there where she had to raise her property, raise her elevation. But there's already a natural area here and here. You're talking about where it goes. It comes through this property here, around these two drives, and they've opened up a little small ditch right here, and it runs into this area. But even running there, there's not enough drainage pipes, or no drainage pipes, and I think there is one right in this area.
There is.
You know, what I've asked is just possibly come here, under, and let me chip down under this wetland to me here. I mean, it's just, you've got a concrete walkway from right there, always the elevation of this one is where it's holding the elevation where we are.
Okay.
All right. You drop the elevation here, I don't see any of this coming off of us, because this wetland now is coming way on over into here. One, this is my home, and this water's standing back in here now, where I want to put the camp.
I'm David Parsons, I'm Kim's husband, lives in Woodland Drive. The basic problem with this is, yes, the water is pushing more forward to that lady's property. And it's coming all the way from Pelican around our pool in Woodland. And it goes to the back side of that and comes all the way into that property. But the biggest problem is the golf cart path, and on the other side of the golf cart path, the state park is a foot taller. It can't go in there. It can't drain, because the state park's elevation is probably a foot taller than that golf cart path. And the water just goes there and sits there. And even in the cul-de-sac, and I'm not talking about a 6-inch rain. A 6-inch rain is going to flood. I don't care. And you're right about that. A 2-inch rain still floods that cul-de-sac. We can't fix our roads in that subdivision because of that. If we went in there and patched that whole cul-de-sac last year, spent a pretty good amount of money, and we had a pipe that was bad, and we fixed it. But when you go into that cul-de-sac, and it's coming off of that lady's property, it's a small creek. And basically, it does run out this bottom property to the state park, but it can't get in it.
Okay, so if we take the golf cart path and tear it up, elevate it, and drainage underneath it, whatever number of pipes, whatever diameter, you think that will help?
I don't, because the state park is still higher. There's nowhere from that water to go. They did come in. They did come in and knock a couple little places out, and it drains so far, but it doesn't carry the water coming off there.
That is state park on the upside of the car path. Is that right?
Yes.
South.
On this
south
side.
South.
South. South. South.
South. Right there.
Yeah. North is always up to me. I'm always going. All right. So that's the south side. So on the south side, does the state park property come all the way up to the golf course?
Yes.
What about on the other side?
It is state park just above the cursor right there, where Sean's at. That's state park.
And there is drainage all the way up through there, but it just doesn't have any place to go.
We would have to go further south into the state park to gain some elevation to make some difference. If we can get permission from the state to do a combination, do some drainage improvements with a farm and some ditching, including going south of the cart path, then I think we can make a difference. But it's going to take permission from the state.
Okay, so solution A is on the table. Y'all good with solution A?
Aye.
So solution A, though, is dependent on state park permission, which we will try to get. Do we have a B?
I personally would not take that golf cart path out. I would not.
No, I'm actually taking it out. We will elevate it so we can
elevate it.
And I think that would be a big help. But it's not just wet right there, it's wet all the way over to Oak Ridge. Like, all of that area stays wet on that golf cart path, which we love. We love the golf cart path. But we don't love that it stops all that water.
The higher you build the golf cart path, the greater the dam and the dam effect. So then you back it up even more. So we would rather be low and flood over. Mm-hmm. So darned if you do, darned if you don't. So.
And all that, I guess, is coming from water. All that stuff comes from water, and then it goes down Pelican, and then it goes behind the pool area, and then goes into that wetland. So I'm not sure what's coming in that, but that's what we were here for, is that garages, and hopefully that doesn't cause us more problems in the long run. And It's hard to believe that a business, and again, I know that's, we might be at the best business that we can have back there, but all that traffic coming in through Lauder, past Broken Sound and Woodland, there's three subdivisions right there, and all those people will be coming in through all of those home, you know, those home subdivisions.
So. Well, I said it would be much worse if townhouses or apartments.
Yeah.
And that is allowed in general business.
Yeah.
So that's why I said this is docile, relatively speaking, this is lesser of all evils. Yeah. In my humble opinion, I think.
You're right.
Yeah.
Well, just so you know, too, in the years I've been there, any time we have identified a flooding situation in the city that we can help, we've done everything to buy a lot.
And again, you guys, I'll talk to Tony and I'll talk to Chris. And I appreciate both of you because you've both been in
contact. Just sorry that it got out there that we weren't do anything. You know, and that was very disappointing when we really thought we were trying.
Okay.
So, but we will.
That wasn't from us.
I know it wasn't.
Oh, yeah, none of that was from me. I appreciate everything. I'm not.
Facebook is just an abomination.
Yeah, I would not.
It needs to be outlawed.
Yes.
We outlaw Facebook.
Yeah.
I will say one more thing. When this goes in and Pelican is widened, there is going to be a bottleneck when you get out to Canal because the getaway condominium office, if you go left out of Lauder onto Canal, I taught safety for 30 years for Chevron Phillips, and I taught defensive driving, I taught, you take your life in your own hands when you turn left and try to get in that center lane, especially if there's somebody at the getaway trying to get out, or if there's a backhoe on the road right there, you can't see the traffic.
I don't disagree, and if it's up to me, there would be no left turn. You would have to turn right.
I understand.
Way too many dangerous accidents, bad accidents. You'd have to go right to the light.
It's only going to get worse.
Look, I left Cumberland last night and went to the wharf, came out that way because it's just safer. It's everywhere. It's not just Lauder Place, and it's the bad part of growth. We're dealing with it. But you're one of the worst, but it doesn't matter where you are. If you're leaving J&M there, you can't get out with a boat.
There are places, I understand that, but it's going to get worse right there. It is.
Well, what's going to happen?
And it's a hazard.
But what's going to happen is exactly what happened on the beach road. It's going to be medians directing everybody to the right to a U-turn.
Because you can't. Right, yeah.
And I'll say, we love where we live. We love Orange Beach. We love you guys. You know, I know there's a lot going on, and we appreciate everything we do.
But look at this. If we put one there, Captain's Cove is going to have the same request. Cypher Village, the same request.
I understand. I've already known there's not going to be any lights.
And then you know what the complaint's going to be? Traffic's not moving. We've got to be red lights. So the point being is we're going to have to do, we've been talking to the state about doing something along the lines of what we did on the beach. We're going to do it down at Zeke's where you get a right out and then you get into an area where you can make the U-turn to go back. What you say? So we're working on that.
Thank you.
Okay. We are. We're not believing. We're not insensitive to it. It's just difficult.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. So we'll have plan A if we get permission. Plan B, we'll figure out when we can't get plan A. So. But take our word to you is we're going to do everything we can do to eliminate what we can.
Thank you.
On the traffic, so just to confirm, there's not enough side street volume to warrant a signal at any of those intersections. But I was at a meeting at the Southwest Region about 2 weeks ago. They are applying for some money to do a access management study along from the wharf to 161. Good. So they'll do an access management study. A lot of that will probably result in recommendations along the lines of what the mayor has said with no limited left turns, medians, U-turns. But once that access management study is done, then we'll be able to apply for some funding and hopefully make things safer on Canal.
And we're going to have to because it's really dangerous.
Yes.
Because people that make the left turn to the center lane,
they don't stop and wait for a break. They use it as a merge light. So they're watching their review mirror behind them and don't see somebody else making a left turn or a phone. And that's when it's bam, T-bone or head on.
So you ought to move the light from where Cumberland is to William Silver's. We're getting a new light at Cumberland, and the state is nice enough to allow us to pay for, what, $100,000?
I understand.
So, I understand. And we're having to kick and scream to get it. And it's going to take months, maybe a year, but it's...
The good thing about it is, I'm not sure how it's going to be phased, but it may actually separate clumps of lights. So now you get breaks. If they'll time it with Gulf Bay going west, then you may start getting greater breaks in between the phases.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else? I enjoyed that.
Everybody was nice.
We appreciate it.
Matt, you got anything to say before we shut this?
I think they covered everything fairly well. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I do agree with the state park is one of the main issues with the water drainage back there. All along the south side of that golf cart trail, where pretty much our neighborhood starts to Windmill Rails Road, there is a good 1 foot berm there. They could cut some fire lanes in back to that wetlands and mediate all of this fairly quickly. Right. There's already a couple of fire lanes, but they've got a hump to get over it.
Well, please, y'all give all your input to Chris. Everything, anything you think that might work, you see it more than I see it or any of us see it. You probably know the patterns better than we do. Input to Chris, and we'll just look at every option the state will let us look at.
That's Chris Blankenship.
Yeah. No, I was talking about Chris. That's
Chris Blankenship too.
And I'll take care of Chris Blankenship. Ford.
He's trying to take some of it off of you, Chris.
Yeah. Ford's a new hatchet man for city stuff. All right, anything else on that? I'm going to close the public hearing.
I'd like to say, the thoughts on that water coming through. The biggest thing is the approval of that you're going to take away absorption of that many more square foot of water going into the ground. It's got to run off somewhere. We can build a retention pond. The 6-inch range will run over. That's not a big deal. But any way you go about this, if you go out there and look right now, if you go to the end of Pelican, to the right hand side, right there, there's a drain pipe coming across from the north side of the street to the south side, run diagonal across that street. There's water running through there all the time, right now. Like it's a natural spring somewhere or something feeding it. There's water constantly coming off of Pelican into that area that is not really wetlands at that point, but it's creating our wetlands to be deeper and deeper in what was once useful property.
I can't disagree.
That's all I'm asking.
But it
if you approve this, try to do anything you can to help us get that water out of there. Bring it back down to a natural wetland, not a flooded wetland.
But when you border the wetlands the way that does, my home borders the wetland. I raised it. It's up. I brought in lots of thousands of dollars of dirt to raise it up because I knew that if I didn't, I'm going to have water on my property. There's no way. That's just the way it is. Wood Glen was probably not designed as it should have been at that time. And the road should have been, everything should have been elevated, but it didn't. So, believe me, we're still a whole lot of stuff.
You're referring to that drainage pipe right there?
Right there.
Yes.
So, Chris and Vince, is there a possibility that when they widen that road, we can increase the size of that pipe? There's one coming under right here.
That'll just mean more water.
That's what I'm saying. It's coming anyway. There's water coming from up there naturally all the time right now into that area.
There's a lot of land there.
But it's just feeding. It's feeding.
But it's not ever going to stop.
It's feeding an overflowed wetlands is what it's done. The wetlands is overflowed. What, like Chris said, 1941 was there. It's just overflooded in the fact that water's going somewhere. And there's no releasing it under that golf cart trail. It can't go any further south until they do something there.
We'll do what we can do. No doubt about it.
Thank you.
And like I said, appreciate y'all's input. We'll be listening. So, okay. HOA, you let us know what y'all's thoughts are as well, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything HOA presents to us makes it easier than moving on something a singular property owner. As soon as that property owner wants X, for the people will Y. So we want it from the HOA. Okay. Anything else for anybody else? Good. I close the public hearing. All right, moving to ordinances. Ordinance amending ordinance number 172, Bayside Garages at Orange Beach.
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow for immediate consideration of this ordinance.
Second.
Mike, please call the roll.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Penny?
Abstain.
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Does that mean that, then that means?
Okay, yes.
You can modify your vote to.
Yes, modify it to yes.
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second. Any further discussion?
All right, so this means, just for the record, we're in a position to vote for it tonight to move it forward. As a council, we're sitting up here going, this is the lesser of evils as a project. I just want y'all to understand that before we have discussion, we move forward on this vote. Are y'all understanding, are you okay with it? I mean, the other option is either no, and what lies to in the bush? And that's,
or get sued.
So that's where we sit right here.
But something's going to be built on that property. There's no doubt about it. So.
And my 14 years of sitting here, and all the ones I've been through, I'm living there, I would take this one. And as opposed to what could come. And we've watched general business. I wouldn't be saying this if we haven't watched it over and over. And watch what can come to general business, and it will be more painful. My belief is it will be much more painful to you than what you're going to get with this. So,
yes, sir.
I will say this, if it's done right, you know, and stormwater runoff and all the guidance through that is right, it may improve, you know, it may. But if it doesn't, I will tell you that the retention pond at Broken Sound overflows, and it overflows behind our pool. But if it's done right, the retention pond there is increased, and the drainage is better and directed where it needs to be directed, and not on people's property, that's okay by me.
Well, that's why I brought Chris on. Chris is a civil engineer. And we've gotten to the point where we were trusting the other engineers to tell us it was good. Now we've got someone to review it. Now, a retention pond is required to retain what level of rainfall? 100-year event? 50-year event? Chris, I'm asking you.
Yeah, our stormwater ordinance requires us to retain for a 25-year stormwater event. We have to be able to attenuate, to pass, hydraulically move the 100-year storm, but we don't have to detain for it. And what Vince has said is that he's gone back and he's looked at his calculations. Vince, you correct me if I'm wrong, but he believes that he's going to be able to detain through the 100-year event, which would be over and above what our stormwater ordinance requires.
Okay, and tell me if I can do this. If Vince is saying that we're going to a 100-year event, you know what that would require.
Yes.
And then we can make this a conditional on the 100-year event, right?
On their retention pond?
Yes. But it's got to be approved by you to make sure it is exactly what it said it is.
Yes.
Okay. That good with you, Chris?
Yes.
Don't put the monkey on your back.
Yes.
Right? So.
You good, Vince?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you also see the commitment from us. Whatever it takes on that cart path, whatever it takes to our lobbying efforts to work with the state, we understand your pain, and we will do everything in our power to help you.
We appreciate it. That's my thoughts as well. If you can do anything to help alleviate that problem, bring that back there. I think you're right. The ordinance will stop the rest of any evil we're going to do.
Developers, if we require the 100-year event, as Vince said, we good with that?
Vince can do it. We're all about it. We want to.
Okay.
not cause any problem whatsoever.
Okay. So everybody on the same page then?
Yes, sir.
That sounds good. Okay. Where are we at?
So now somebody will need to modify the motion to make contingent upon the 100-year event, and you'll have to accept that amendment, and then you'll have to.
I make a motion to modify the original plan to make this overall project contingent upon Mr. Lucido and his company developing this to a 100-year floodplain.
Detention.
With retention. And we'll have to vote on that modification, and then go back to it.
Anything we need to add to that, Chris? Any proper lingo?
Yeah, I would just say that he needs the stormwater management needs to provide detention through the 100-year storm.
Say that again.
The stormwater management system needs to provide detention through the 100-year stormwater event.
I just put quotes around that.
You just said what he said. That's what he said.
Yeah. We just say get up.
Okay.
All right, we got that?
Yeah, I'll need a second.
Second.
All right, and then we'll need a motion in a second to vote on that. So, Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Tennant?
Does this have to be unanimous, or can I abstain?
Yes.
Okay, abstain.
Okay. So now we will vote on what we just amended.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll need a motion in a second.
Motion to approve it as the amendment states.
Second.
All right, Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Tennant?
Abstain.
Thank you all for coming.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you. We're grateful. Developers, thank you all for being there and working with us. This is how they need to move forward, so we appreciate this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I abstain because I was involved in sort of the design and something up front, so I don't think I had to abstain, but I thought it was better that I did.
For the record.
For the record. So that's one. But y'all know I'm maybe the only time I've ever seen in my life. I don't know. But the government scares me now. All right, we ready to move on? All right. First reading, ordinance accepting ownership of the Bear Point Cemetery and amending the Code of Ordinances to establish a new chapter entitled Municipal Cemetery.
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow for immediate consideration of this ordinance.
Second.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Tennant?
Yes.
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Tennant?
Yes.
For the record, the cemetery is full. You can't be buried there. But
for the record, it is on the record.
Let you go above ground.
Like in New Orleans.
All right. Ordinance declaring city-owned property, real property, is unneeded municipal purposes. Authorized execution of real estate purchase agreement with Wharf Land.
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow for immediate consideration of this ordinance.
Second. Please call the roll.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Tennant?
Yes.
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Tennant?
Yes. First reading, ordinance establishing temporary moratorium development of or within 15 feet of wetlands, utilization of wetland acreage and density, and utilization of wetland acreage and density calculations.
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow for immediate consideration of this ordinance.
Second.
Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennedy?
Yes.
Move to adopt.
Second. Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennedy?
Yes. A motion to adjourn?
Mm-hmm.
Second. We are adjourned. Moving to...
Committee of the Whole, call to order, Tuesday, May 2025, call roll please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Here.
Councilmember Johnson?
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Here.
Councilmember Boyle, absent. Councilmember Voice?
Here. Yes.
Mayor Kennedy?
Here. New business under resolution, resolution authorizing execution, installation, operation, maintenance agreement, Alabama Department of Transportation, new traffic control signal, State 180 at Wharf Parkway East. Resolution authorizing franchise with Claus Cabs, operate taxi service, jurisdiction City of Orange Beach. Resolution authorizing franchise renewal for a missed taxi service, to operate taxi within the city limits, police jurisdiction, Orange Beach. Ordinances of public hearing, Oasis at Orange Beach, following Phoenix 2, PUD modification. Signage amendment 6-17-2025, is that good?
Yes.
Yes.
Any questions on anything else?
Two things. Number one, do we have, who does any communication with the Morgan Wallen concert with the city? Anybody? Do we have any with the bus routes or any of that?
I'd be your person, whatever you need.
The only input I would give for us is that if they're going to run shuttles and come here, they need to extend the time frame that they're running shuttles beyond 30 minutes past the concert time at night, because it was a nightmare. If you were listening to the scanner, what happened, people were stranded everywhere, people were walking everywhere, and it just made it dangerous. So if you could bring that feedback back. For the other is, anything we can do to get our mosquito trucks back up and working, yes, anywhere close to where they used to be. Mosquitoes are worse this year than ever.
Yeah.
We have. I'm getting complaints in my neighborhood. I can complain myself because I've never seen them so bad. I'm fogging myself. But I know some of the details behind it, but whatever it takes, I think we would be more than happy, yes, to help it.
Yes. Buy more trucks.
Well, it's not about buying it's more trucks. About the state put more mandates. Go ahead, Ford.
We also get a lot of complaints on the other side, too, so we'll look into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you say on the other side?
The fogging's going to kill us all.
Oh, yeah. Too much. Yeah. I have that. I've heard that.
So,
listen, it got so bad after Ivan that we did some aerial spray because of the Gulf State Park. The same piece of property that we're complaining about today is a little water. So that is a big hit, too, with the mosquito.
I'll just say we're aware of the issue and we're looking into it.
Thank you so kindly.
Yeah, that's so political.
You're going to throw us.
I just figured I would address it publicly.
Absolutely not.
For all the phone calls that I have received, I'm addressing it publicly.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
It was so smooth.
Absolutely not.
Okay, well, anybody got anything they want to add?
Happy Memorial Day weekend, everybody. Y'all be safe. The kids getting out of school. Yes, it's going to be busy. Business owners are loving it.
Roll Tide.
One more time.
We got one more.
Yep.
Sorry. We'll make it short.
No.
So.
This is what we do.
Okay.
You lost in Montgomery.
No, we didn't. They won.
Sort of.
Uh-huh.
So,
and I'm sorry, can I get your name again?
Oh, yeah. It's Amy. I'm Amy Crawford. My husband and I own Sun Med, your CBD store. So, we went to Montgomery. We got chewed up. We got spit out. We're back. Y'all asked us to come back when we were done up there to discuss the seltzers. So currently seltzers are not, CBD seltzers, hemp seltzers are not to be sold in the city of Orange Beach. And so we are back to ask if we could possibly reconsider that. So what the state decided was 10 milligrams per serving. No more than a four pack, can only be sold in 21 and older establishments, and then there is an exception for grocery stores.
And they gave them control to the
ABC board. Yes, correct.
So when you say there's an exception for grocery stores, but it has to maintain 4 and 10 milligrams.
Yes, 4 and 10 milligrams, and it has to be back like tobacco. So currently in Rouse's, not any longer, but they were on an end cap in the alcohol aisle. That's no longer going to be allowed. They have to be back, so somebody has to go in and request that, like they do cigarettes.
Okay, so the state limited to the ABC and grocery store.
And individual hemp stores that are over, so you have to be over the age of 21 to come into any establishment. So in other words, no longer can be sold in like convenience stores or like little novelty shops.
But you have permission from the state to sell?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
I have a copy of the bill. I read it.
Okay. Yeah.
It's an open bill. We can stay in business with it, so we're thankful for that, but we do have to make a lot of changes.
So does our ordinance supersede the state law?
It doesn't supersede it. It's a state. It, right, we're stricter, so they give the right for it to be sold.
So we to follow with the state law, we would have to just remove the word beverages off of our ordinance.
We don't have to. Okay.
Don't have to. We, if we wanted to,
if
match
we
it, that's
wanted what to doing. Allow them to sell, we would have to modify our ordinance to follow the state law.
Understood.
Right now, our ordinance does not allow the sales.
I say we take the request under advisement and do further research and discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not saying no and not saying yes.
Not saying yes or no.
Yeah.
Next retreat.
I can get some research together for you.
Can we?
Yes.
Yeah. 10 milligrams. So if I walk in, you can, and you can't sell beverages, but you can sell the gummies.
Mm-hmm.
So it was 10 milligrams and a gummy. You can buy that type of gummy. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
So if I take 10 milligrams and a gummy, and then I drink a beverage of 10 milligrams, what is the difference?
There is no difference, and we don't recommend mixing the two.
No, hang on a second. What I'm trying to see is...
There is no difference. So the beverage is no different than a gummy. It's just the catalyst.
Okay,
so
that's my point, is I'm trying to understand what is the reasoning for allowing gummies and not allowing a beverage. I don't know one way or the other. I'm just saying.
I think when we wrote our ordinance, this was a whole new deal. If you remember, we were battling with the then police chief and how we disseminate this and how we decipher who's done it on the road and we pulled them over. And to make it stricter, I think we put in beverages and food. So we didn't have to even deal with that issue. And we've been on the whole waiting to say, what's the state going to say?
Yeah.
Well, the thing that bothered me is the state, ABC board shouldn't be selling alcohol. It shouldn't be such thing as ABC board. But if they're going to sell it, I'm having a hard time us taking a stand when all you got to do is run down here to the ABC board and get what they can't sell. And they're local.
You can sell it. They'll be able to sell the liquids.
No, they can't.
Only if y'all allow us to.
Right. Understood.
Yeah. So that bothers me. That
we'll
state
the information together.
Yeah.
We'll talk.
So let us think it through, okay?
Okay. And we're here if y'all have any questions.
It may be helpful if you did a highlight of the bill.
Absolutely.
And some points, what you're asking for, what the bill states, and what our current one doesn't. It says that we can't do.
Sure.
And please even go back to the most basics of the type of THC, hemp versus this versus that, and the type of what you feel, whatever. Anything like that to educate us. Because I know that it makes a difference with sleep, and I know that it makes a difference with chronic pain.
Absolutely.
And I know it does from personal experience. And I'm not the first one to tell anybody. But I also know there's people in town that don't want the beverages sold, and I'd like to talk more about why that is.
You used all your time a lot.
They also did away with on-site consumption, so they will no longer allow to be served in bars or restaurants. So it's just like package only.
Okay,
so.
And I think that's what the issues that I was hearing was they didn't want the bar selling it and kids drinking it.
Yeah, and that's not allowed any longer. Yeah.
But in your over 21, I don't know why they can drink whiskey, but they can't drink.
Preaching the choir.
You don't see people fist fighting on THC drinks. I've
seen you do it sober.
What, fight?
I just like something that has logic and reason to it, not because a bunch of folks got together and made a horse trading. I don't know. Anyway, give us time to think it through if it's okay.
Thank you,
ma'am. Roger Crawford, I'm her lesser half.
Most of the people that consume these beverages are former alcoholics. I'm one of them. I was one that couldn't stop at one. And
I remember you telling us that.
Right. So most of these customers do not want to go into a liquor store. Mm-hmm. And that was our argument in Montgomery. It's like most of these people, and I know alcohol is losing their sales. That's why they went after us the way they did, is because they're losing those sales to hemp beverages. And so forcing these former alcoholics into a liquor store it's a bad move, because most people can't, you know what I mean? So allowing us to do it, and we are going to lose some products. We're losing some gummies, we're losing some of our beverages, actually. We are the good guys, so we're always going to play by the rules. So like our Island Time, which is the most popular drink, we won't be able to sell it any longer, so we'll pull it from the shelf. So we are going to be compliant, and we do want to work with y'all to make sure that Orange Beach, and we gave y'all mad props when we were testifying on the ground, like if you can just mimic what Orange Beach has done in the state of Alabama, you're going to fix the problem.
So if we mimic the state bill, then the beverages can be sold from your place, mm-hmm. from the grocery stores, from the ABC store, to take out the door, to take home. Cannot be sold in bars.
Correct.
Correct. That would be something on site.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. No,
thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all coming. Anybody else? Jason? He's been on Facebook beating me up all week, so.
Sorry.
I like the last meme. That's a little funny. All right, well, I guess I entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.